Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though you already regret your resolutions, let us distract you with Battleborn Tech, broadcasting every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 Carson City, while streaming live and later on demand on KNBC.org. Doesn't look like that Christmas tech miracle is happening after all? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. Before you add another A to the beginning of your file name so you can find it, find a phone and call us, 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the hosts and callers. This week, we welcome Nancy, Charlie, and Kirk. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Corps. KNVC makes it clear. Computer Corps makes it useful. We make it questionable.
Well put.
That's how you can tell, you know, whether it's us or Computer Corps at KNVC. It's questionable, you think.
Yeah. I disavow any knowledge that I have on this program.
I hope our callers and our listeners enjoyed the Holla Lee programs we had over the year's break. And we thank our Linux Lee guy for calling in. And God bless him. He called again. So look forward to Lee coming back next week. We thought he'd give you 1 week of break.
So it's a Lee-less week indeed. We do have three phone calls coming up today. None of them are Lee. However, Lee will be back next week. So a little hair on fire note, make sure to check to see if your phone is vulnerable to MMS code execution. And that's part of a tech service.
And here's a clue. It is.
Yeah. So look it up on the web search engine of your choice about MMS needing to disable it in your messaging program.
You can switch on over to RCS if your carrier supports it. You may say, hey, I have an Apple or I have an Android. Can I use it? Well, that's up to the carrier that you have. So you got to check that out. Apple does have a little thing about what's the difference because, you know, they got the iMessage going, RCS and SMS, MSS. MMS is the multimedia that supersede the old text messages that allows multimedia like PDFs and images to go forward. Unfortunately, those PDFs can sneak in some code that you don't want. So you probably want to take a look at getting away from MMS. You may want to take a look at an app, maybe Signal or maybe WhatsApp, something else rather than the old MMS add-on to the old text SMS.
And that is old technology indeed. Speaking of new technology, our first phone call of the day is Nancy. And Nancy, boy, this is a throwback to the pandemic days, is having some Zoom issues.
I Zoom a couple times a week. It's still around.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Nancy.
Hey,
I was recently, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
I was recently on a Zoom call, and I was a host, and a few people needed to stay on the call, so I needed to transfer to one of those people, the host, so I could just log off and they could stay on the Zoom call. But I couldn't figure out how to do that. Would you help me know how to do that, please?
Okay. Well, it's tricky because you can only currently, I mean, Zoom's an online service, so this could change at any moment, according to their whim. But currently on Zoom, you can only transfer hosts to someone that is a user in your account. They like to keep pretty close tabs on how many users are in an account, and they actually charge for that. If you have more than one user, there's different plans. So they don't let you pass hosts around unless it is in a registered user of that account. Now, you can add those accounts. It may be extra cost, da-da-da. However, so far, there is a loophole just for the situation you described. When you, if you leave a meeting, if you're the host and you leave the meeting, they go, hold on there. You just can't up and leave these people without a host. And it lets you assign anyone a host, whether or not they're on the user thing. So the workaround is start the meeting, people come, or at least the co-host comes that you want. And then on your way out, you have to leave. On your way out, you'll have the option of doing the co-host, switching it to anyone. The trick is be careful with that click, because if you click the wrong one, you'll shut down the meeting.
Right. Right, which I've done before.
I know from experience. It's very close. The buttons are very close. Transfer host and meeting for also. Yeah, so you can't transfer, you know, while you're in the meeting, but on your way out, you can. At least for this
one. When I push leave, it'll invite me to.
Yeah, it will require you. It gets pretty pouty. It's either there's got to be a host, so they'll either say transfer host or end the meeting. Those are your only options. Once you're a host, you're a host for the rest of the meeting. Unless you can, it's kind of like a church job. Unless you can find your successor, you can't leave.
Oh, so true.
All right. Well, have happy Zooming, and thanks for calling. Battleborn Tech.
That's helpful. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, one of the greatest things about using an online service, and this is not just Zoom, but anything, and you know what? Microsoft's getting to be kind of like this too. What you say 1 week that the expiration date or the best used by date for tech advice gets shorter and shorter. It's almost like code signing certificates. They keep cutting down the amount of time they're useful. But right now, Zoom is kind of snooty, and it's their program. It's theirs from the beginning of time. If you don't have a person, you paid for a person in your organization to be a host, you can't have a co-host with them. You can't have more than one host unless you've already registered, paid for them, salute and sign. I guess that kind of makes a little bit of sense. But what doesn't make sense, but is good in Nancy's case, is that if you commit to leave, if you leave the meeting and you're the host and you're the only host and you say leave meeting, it does currently give you an option to make somebody else the host. And that somebody else, key point, doesn't have to have an account with Zoom, doesn't have to be on your account. So you can switch over the host. Now, I haven't tried it, but I think you could probably leave the meeting on the way out, make someone else the host, turn around and come back in the meeting, and that person will already be host. So that'd be an interesting thing. If you try that, friends and neighbors, give us a call back and see how you've worked around that only people on the account can be a co-host option.
Can you keep passing off hosting duties and signing out, signing back in, if you have the limited free version of Zoom?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you keep passing it down the line like that?
I would have to try that. The big thing is, would you get another? Probably the meeting time limit would still be on. That's the most key thing.
Yeah.
The meeting time limit comes swatting you down.
So that's a global thing. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I would code it. If I was looking for money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Once again, back to the hair on fire thing that we announced at the beginning. Check with your carrier to see if they have the format called RCS. Some carriers do, and there's a few out there that don't. Especially if you're going to do international travel, you may discover that you can't send pictures of your beautiful Caribbean vacation back home because MMS and RCS don't work wherever you're at. We've got another phone call here, and this is Charlie. And Charlie, like the rest of us, has some beefs with Microsoft's Windows 11.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Battleborn, this is Charlie. I got a question for you.
Okay.
I just upgraded to Windows 11.
Oh, how's that going?
Well, great so far, but the only thing, my taskbar is on the bottom, and I always had it on the side with Windows 10. I had it on the side, and how did I get it up on the side?
Well, Microsoft said no, they don't want to do that no more. In fact, they completely rewrote the whole taskbar at the bottom so that a lot of the add-ons don't work. Have you tried any of the add-ons to get it up there?
No, I didn't know there was one.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's
good.
That's why I'm calling.
Okay, good. Well, there's a couple options that are out there. There's an old one called StarDock that goes way, way back. It kind of started out as a kind of a Mac-y kind of interface to Windows with the floating Windows icons at the bottom of the screen. It's moved on. They've got something called Start 11. Now, you can try it for free. I did. It works at the current version of Windows 11, but they could break any time because it's not supported. There is no hooks to grab it and move the test. They don't allow it. So anything solution has a, best used by date or expiration, because Microsoft could just say, because it's not a supported thing. But currently, StarDuck's got one called Start 11 you can take a look at. If you want to go there, they've been around forever. So far, so good on them. The one I like is has a funny story on it. Winhawk. Yeah, like blowing. Winhawk.
Winhawk. H-A-W-K.
Yeah. Well, that is it sort of when it does the same thing as StarDuck, but instead of having one program with 1,000 different options, you're going to just be. It's pretty hard to find the one thing you want. Move that bar. You can find it, but it's hard. Winhawk is a little tiny mods that just click in, and you pick what you want, and you make your own thing. So you can just pick the Windows 11 Start menu, Windows 11 Start menu, and move it on over there, and just only that. Strangely enough, the guy just does it as a hobby. He does it for free. And somebody says, hey, could you do this for him? He said, it's going to take months to do that. And this little company said, okay, we'll pay you. So they actually paid. This was on Security Now podcast. They actually paid for the guy to do it and then just gave it away. So kind of like it. He looks like a good guy. He's been around for a long time. So Winhawk.
Winhawk, that's good.
Yeah, and then you download the mod for the Start menu. Now you're going to have to always run it. Not a big deal, but you always have to run it to, of course, move that over there. That works as well, too. So you got two options, winhawk.net, which is kind of got a good backstory and is free, and StarDuck, Start 11, which is not too expensive. It does a lot more than just the menu moving.
Well, Battleborn, that's great. Thank you very much. You guys are absolutely awesome.
All right.
I was listening to you all the time. Well, I got a lot of good information from you.
Excellent. Keep calling back. Thank you. And if you get another problem or a solution and it's working good for you, give us a call back.
Sounds good. Thank you, Battleborn.
Thank you.
Well, even though I give advice of how to do it, I got to give you warnings about maybe you don't want to do it. And that's because, hey, friends and neighbors, unlike other things we may bring up here as on utilities or fixes, this is not supported by Microsoft. I mean, it is any day. Well, of course, any day Microsoft could fit, break anything you've been trying, but they haven't committed, and in fact, they've committed not to support this. It doesn't have an API. API is called Application Programming Interface, an API. What that means is a set of commands, functions, protocols, objects that you can use that is okay by the program developer to use to do things with the software or interact with an external system. Microsoft wiped those all out for Windows 11, so there's no official okey-doke way to mess around with the taskbar. Now, will they come back? I don't know. We could keep asking. Could happen, but right now it's not, and so any day it could just go. So you may, let's suppose you spent some money on some program to do the taskbar. It'll stop working. It could be, and it's not there. Hey, so I would, you know, take some pause with that. You may find yourself on the wrong end of an update if you start relying on that. One of the things I like about Windhoek and Raymond Software, which is the behind the Windhoek product, is that the guy is very good at supporting his project, and he doesn't get paid. His name's Michael Maltzley, and he's just right on tech support for this free product. In fact, people asked him to do the test thing, like I said in the call, and he says, it's too much money. And they liked it so much, they actually subsidized. They actually gave him money to do it. And he did it, and they released it. A really good community out there for a good example of community working to give something back to the community. That Windhoek vertical, and you want to look for vertical taskbar for Windows. Take a look at bbtl.ink/snwindhoek for Security Now's talk about it. You could also take a look at bbtl.ink/11vertical to get right to the page on that. And to finish it up, Start 11 is the bbtl.ink/start11 for Stardock's version of that. And take a look at all those when you're thinking about moving on up. But remember, not supported, could go at any time. Now, Stardock's version, they took a little different approach. It's everything you want to do with the start bar. I mean, just pages of stuff, and you really got to dig it. But there is down buried, the vertical version is buried in all the settings. A Windhoek takes a special thing, a different approach. You just a la carte. You just pick what you want. And so you want to get vertical taskbar for Windows. There's all sorts of things about the taskbar with Windhoek. Ignore them all. If you only want the vertical taskbar, look for the one that starts with the word vertical to get that one. It's got 15,000 users, 5 out of 5 stars. Most of the software does. I feel good about telling you, you can check that out, see if that works for you.
Well, let's have a little more chat about the RCS versus NMS versus SMS that we were talking about in the prior segments.
RCS, we've been talking about, is Rich Communication Services. It is an extension of the older SMS technology, which was cell phone based and all that. It's not on the cellular network. It's on the wireless network, on the Wi-Fi network. There's no limit on length of text messages, high resolution sharing of media. You can get delivery and read receipts, live typing, all sorts of great stuff on that. So if you can, and if your carrier supports RCS, Rich Communication Services, try to get away from that and try to get there and get away from SMS, MMS that has a lot of problems.
Yeah, mostly that it's very old technology. I mean, we're talking 2001.
And Joe, it's actually accidental technology because when they were doing the cell packets and just by technical reasons, there was extra space in the cell packets for voice and commands and protocols. And they had this extra blank space. And they said, hey, you know what? We could put in text messages in that extra blank space. it wasn't like they planned from the beginning to support it. So it's kind of a kludge that perhaps is good to be thankful for with gratitude and then move on to a more secure, supported, and planned technology.
We've got another phone call here. This is Kirk. And, oh, dear, Kirk has a dead hard drive. Let's see if we can do some resuscitation here.
I can really cut this down because it's pretty much...
I think the word you're looking for is kaput.
Jeez.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, this is Kirk from Reno.
Hey, Kirk from Reno. Okay, what's up?
Okay. I have a question. I've had a backup drive for about a decade now, and it has gone dead on me.
Okay, now a decade, we would be guessing that's a spinning drive, we would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
That probably would be. So is this in am I getting ahead of you? Is this in the computer or just sitting on the external drive? What are we talking?
It's an external drive.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Okay. Go ahead. What's up?
So it has a lot of backup data, and I don't care that it's actually kind of dead on the computer, but it has a lot of data that is not backed up on, well, what we call a cloud, because the cloud is we borrow other people's computers.
Yeah, cloud.
So
cloud is just
my personal
cloud
thing.
Yes, cloud definition is definitely other people's computer is a really good definition. So you got external hard drive. Now, does it light up? Does it spin? Does it give an error? Is there any signs of life on the thing?
No, it's completely dead. I might as well put it out on a anchor for a boat.
Oh, I thought, well, boat anchor or doorstop are the two popular descriptions. So, okay. So one thing is we got an external drive. It is, might be possible to do surgery on the poor thing and get the actual hard drive out of the chassis. We're hoping that the whatever's wrong is on the outside circuitry outside the hard drive and not inside. Was there any symptoms before? Was it slow? Did it make noise, screeching, anything like that?
No, it only acted up when I moved it from one computer to another computer.
Oh, it hates
and,
moving.
it hates moving. It
hates moving. You know, the dust is the only thing that keeps it running. So you disturb the dust, you're in trouble. All right.
Yeah,
well,
so what I need is someone to grab this and extract the data and go, hey, we got this, and there you are. You got a new data.
Yeah, yeah. So so if it's not giving any signs of life at all, not showing up at all, there's not really some in-home kind of stuff to do. You can't really run a program on something that's not recognized, not spinning up. So they're probably going to have to take it apart, and hopefully the hard drive is still accessible after you get it out of the casing. Maybe, probably not. The needle is moving between maybe and probably not. There are professional sites that are just crazy nuts about getting it back, and their fees are crazy nut as well. So, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I talked to someone that set one off and actually did it, and it was over $1,000. But so they're not cheap, but that's sample size of one. Yeah, I'd take that in. You can take it in to any kind of computer shop, just put yourself, put yourself at the mercy of them, and hopefully they can do that. You can either go that way. See, if you go to the shop, they're going to try, and if it's on its way out dying, that's going to help it on its way to death, to full death. So if you really, really, really want it and must have it, you're not going to do that. You're going to go directly to the professionals and pay the $1,000 to do that. And there's a couple of good ones, and usually a good shop will recommend, will give you those choices, and they can say, hey, we could try, or you can ship it off to the good ones. Okay? Sorry, bud. That's not a good way to start the year, but that's where you're at. I think you're going to have to take it into the garage. You're going to have to take it into the shop, as they say.
Well, if I have to take it into the garage, I do have a big hammer. So, well, hammer? We'll make it tough.
Hammers are always good. That's always mental support. All right. Well, have a happy new year regardless. And, Kurt, and if you get your data back, give us a call back, okay?
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so All much. Right. Have a great Thank one.
You. All right. Bye-bye.
Well,
bye.
I was trying to be a little bit gentle with Kirk. Maybe I was too gentle. I don't know. You decide. But the hard drive's dead. I mean, Kurt's in one of his five stages of grief. I don't know which one. I think denial. He keeps going back, bargaining. There's all sorts of things. I don't think I've ever taken an external hard drive out of its case and found that it still worked. I mean, rarely does the little bit of connections that are inside the case that takes it and puts it on a hard drive, rarely does that fail. But, you know, there's always a chance, you know, if you go to toss it, you know, maybe you want to try it. But I'm not holding up a whole lot of hope. I'll let you know if we got some good results, but assume it is dead now when it starts moving. So what are we learning from this? Backup, backup, backup.
Oh, yeah.
Different locations, different medias, out on the cloud, in your house, on external, another location. Backup, backup, backup. Hey, Joe, it's time to move on into the new year.
Yes, it is.
This has been Battleborne Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Thanks to our callers, Nancy, Charlie, and Kirk. Want to be a caller? This month I'm in the studio from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific, 775-241-3571. Call anytime, but I'll probably answer your call, 775-241-3571, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 Pacific this month. For consulting and tutorials, contact your local neighborhood computer shop, Carson City's Libraries Computers for a Beginners class, Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help, Douglas County's Basic Intro into Technology on the first and third Fridays at Douglas County Senior Center, or computer user group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City. Theme music by Breakmaster Cylinder, that's Break, like Resolutions by mid-January. Engineered by Joe Bly, our analog hero in a digital world. Ex post facto checking by Anthony. Every Tuesday is zero day for Anthony. He discovers the vulnerabilities we broadcast. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT. Don't get mad. Scold it for lying about the seahorse emoji. This community nonprofit volunteer radio station welcomes your support. Visit knvc.org and click the donate button. Our operation is 100% community funded, receiving no government funding. Our email is questions@battleborne.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H. Our latest links are at bbtl.ink/stacks. Get the links you missed here. That's BBT link with a dot between the L and the INK. This has been Battleborne Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Rewind this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1. Good show. I think once Joe gets done with it.